Abbey 104. Hello and welcome to Charity Corner. I'm Rachel Goodfellow, the founder of the Hidden Needs Trust, a charity that creates awareness and raises funds to help support Dorset and Somerset special educational needs children and their families. Through my work, I've been introduced to a wide range of small charities, all supporting local causes. And in this regular monthly programme, I go out and about, finding out what local charities and good causes are up to, visiting a few key people and trying to see at first hand how their hard work benefits others in the community. I also then see how other charities can network and help each other. But today, in the programme, I have Kim Duller. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Now, Kim, you are from the Oval Opportunity Group.
Yes.
What exactly is the Oval Opportunity Group?
Right. We're probably one of the oldest charities in Yeovil and probably the least known in Yeovil. And we were the vision 50 years ago of a consultant paediatrician and a speech and language therapy who realised that children with special needs and disabilities were not really receiving the learning and development support they needed. 50 years on, well, nearly 50 years on, and we're still here. And surprise to surprise, we're probably more relevant now than we were then.
Very much so. How many children do you have on average?
We've increased our numbers. We've changed the way we work a little bit over the last 2 years. And we now have 21 children in our, most people would recognise it as a nursery, but we see ourselves very much more as a specialist centre. And we have 6 children from the age of 0 to 2, and we run a family group called Rainbows, and we work with parents and children in that group.
Of course, working with the parents is really, really important, isn't it, at that age group?
Yeah, but very much so for the older age group as well. One of, well, the uniqueness really, and lots of our parents say that, is that we work very closely with our parents. So most parents would experience taking their children to nursery school, dropping them off, and then picking them up again at 12 o'clock at the group. I spend a lot of time with the parents in the morning, talking through, supporting them, helping them. The team do the same. My door's always open, so is the team's. And we help them through just simple things like paperwork, because there is so much paperwork around working with children with special needs.
Yeah. I mean, what sort of level of staff have you got and what other therapists are there?
Right, OK. The main difference between us and what you would see as a mainstream nursery, as we call them in the trade, our staff are highly qualified. They've worked. We have one member of staff, Sue, who received the Teacher of the Year award last year. So she's worked at the group for over 30 years. All of the staff have specialist training. It can be in behaviour training. It can be in speech and language therapy, autism, all kinds of specialist skills. And we look to keep continually updating those. And then each of the children could have up to 12, 15 different people working around them. So a consultant paediatrician, a speech and language therapist, an occupational therapist, a dietitian, you name it. There's lots of support around the child. And our role is to coordinate all the specialists working together, working with the children ourselves and setting individual goals for those children. But the main difference between us and that mainstream is we would have one key worker or member of staff working with a maximum of 3 children, but on average it is 1-to-1 when we take into account the volunteers as well. In a normal mainstream nursery, you'd be working on a ratio of, say, 1-to-8 children, or even 1-to-13 if they're working with a qualified teacher, which is a huge difference when you're working with a child who has significant and complex needs.
Because they range, don't they, from fairly manageable conditions, don't they, right up to very, very complex.
Yes, and again, another difference over the last 2 years, you could only come to the group if you'd been referred by a specialist.
Right.
Now, you don't need to have that referral. And that's made a huge difference to families, because quite often a child will have significant needs, or even, you know, some mild needs that have been recognised by a health visitor or a GP. But at that point, they won't have a diagnosis, and it'll be likely they won't have a diagnosis for maybe a year, 18 months or even longer. But now we open our arms and our doors and say, no, come to us and we will work with you with a plan, an individualised plan to support you through that journey while potentially you're getting that diagnosis.
And because, of course, that's really important, isn't it? Because if you've opened the doors, then children are going to be assessed from a very, very young age.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the day, if they don't need some sort of formal diagnosis and they move on and they get over those sort of first hurdles, then that's fine, isn't it?
And 50%, at least 50% of our children now, we have found, are moving into mainstream nurseries. So they get the best of both worlds. And I come back to this kind of centre of excellence we've created. So they can come to us, they can get the one-to-one support and that, if you like, kickstart and positivity in the start of their learning journey. And then once they're comfortable, once there's lots of positivity and they're learning, we can put them or move them, and working in partnership with some of the other mainstream nurseries, they can move into mainstream. And as I say, 50% of our children are now going into mainstream education as well. So there is the option for either specialist education or going through mainstream, but supported with a special educational needs coordinator in the school. So it's win-win for everybody.
It is, and it also means it's not the reverse, which is actually, or could be, setting your child up to fail,
which is really good.
And of course, I've got experience of the Overall Opportunity Group, because my little girl went there. I was very lucky. And the very first person she really met was Martin, the music therapist.
Yes.
And I have to say, he is still there.
Yes, he is. And he's wonderful. Most people, when they think of music therapy, they have this vision of a little singing group where everybody's sitting around shaking a tambourine and being very jolly. It's very, very different. And I have to say, Martin has brought me to tears on occasions where the children who are completely non-verbal, it will be the first time that they actually communicate through music. And again, that's not necessarily playing an instrument. It'll be through tapping. It'll be through sound. It'll be through vibration. But it's something so incredibly special to see a child who can't show emotion, who can't communicate, to all of a sudden be very aware of something going on in a world, and he can get some significant breakthroughs.
Yes, I have to say I was really lucky, because I was actually allowed into some of the sessions.
Right, okay.
Not with my little girl, but with another little boy. And in fact, Martin features on one of the first HNT videos. So if anybody's intrigued, get onto there and you'll actually see him working. And it's certainly got my little girl talking.
Yeah,
so that's fantastic. We've looked at how you can actually, couldn't they just phone up? Anybody can just phone up and come and have a visit.
Yeah.
So you don't need a referral. Which is absolutely fantastic. So anybody out there with a young child that thinks they might benefit, just pick up the phone, and Kim will tell you the contact details in a bit, and just go and visit. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Just go and have a look and see what you can do. But of course, there is another side of the coin, isn't it, when we're talking about funding and cuts.
As you know, I don't come from this background at all. So I didn't come from an early years background. I came from very much a business background. And this was my little retirement job, taking me into retirement. And I arrived 3 years ago and really knew nothing about the industry per se, and discovered that they'd had their main funding cut from the local authority and other areas. So they lost really £80,000 overnight. So I had quite a challenge when I arrived, which I hadn't asked about in the interview. So we haven't seen this as a negative impact. What we've said is we need to be here. Our parents tell us we need to be here. So we refocused how we work, creating this, again, I keep saying this, centre of excellence model. So we've taken all our expertise, and the way that we run the organisation is quite different to how it was run then. It is a difficulty. There's cuts, savings, whichever way you look at it, across all areas of local and national government. And where we see it for the funding for the children, but we also see the funding for the parents and the support services. So there's a number of areas that impact not directly on what we offer, but a whole host of support that these parents need, particularly when they've got children with disabilities and additional needs. We need round about £30,000. We need to raise that every year to keep going. And we do our best to keep, you know, to keep finding that money.
I know it's a constant, isn't it? Trying to find sponsorship and so on. So if anybody's listening, how can they help? How could they get involved?
Well, we do a number of events ourselves. We do raffles and we've got our Just Giving page. So we've got the Oval Opportunity Group. We don't actually do many events ourselves. We did our own mini marathon this year to support a marathon runner that was running for us. Because we work, we just, our whole life is focused on those children. So events that people might be doing that we could then support somehow, if they'd like us to become involved, that's the best way for us to become involved, really.
Okay. I mean, in terms of annual numbers, do you think you're up to the maximum number of children you've got?
Well, officially, we can take up to 24. That's if they were all coming full time every day. Because our numbers vary each day, we're lucky enough to be able to increase the numbers that we've got. When I arrived, two, 3 years ago, our numbers were right down to 7, 8 children. So you can see in 3 years, the demand has just increased. And I would like to hope that we could have extra capacity. And I'm always looking at new ideas. One may be a shed in the garden that isn't actually a garden shed, it's something bigger. So I'm not going to worry about capacity at the moment because the trustees, we all believe that if the demand is there, we could somehow find the facilities to actually match that demand.
Right, okay. So if people are interested, how can they get in contact with you? Which is the best way?
The best way is through the website, which is yog.org.uk, and that has our telephone. I would always recommend that people have a look at that first. It's got all our contact details on where we are. And then, as you say, come and visit us. I think we really are an organisation where unless you actually walk through our doors with your child, you won't get a sense of what we do. From the sensory room to the specialist garden equipment to the specialist rooms, everything that we have there is geared towards working with children with additional needs.
Right. And of course, if people aren't in the Yeovil area, there are other opportunity groups, aren't there? There's another one in Taunton.
There's one in Taunton, there's one in Blandford, and there's also one in Dorchester.
Right.
For the Sherborne area, it's a unique position because of the border being so close. And we do have a number of children come from the Sherborne area. And there is a cross-border working relation. Yes. So that's absolutely fine. So, from an area point of view, if you're listening and you're Sherborne, yes, you can.
Brilliant.
Come to Yeovil.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Because I'm Sherborne based.
Yes, you are.
I was very lucky.
No, that's fine.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. Now, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the one thing I've missed is volunteers.
Right.
We absolutely rely on our volunteers as part of the team. And quite often, those volunteers have been parents, as you know, who then stay with us after their children have left. But there's lots of ways you can volunteer. We had someone last year, they made us a wooden aeroplane and a wooden boat. They come in and do our gardening. They do come in and read. But anybody who would be interested in volunteering with us, that would be wonderful.
Right. Yeah. And, of course, you do encourage sort of students to come and have a look, don't you?
Yes.
As well.
We have a number of students work with us at any time. So we have an apprentice. We always have an apprentice each year. And we also have students coming in from Yeovil and Street College to
That's
do
wonderful. That's really
training.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yes.
And of course, I've been so fortunate to be involved with the Oval Opportunity Group as a parent and have first-hand experience of it. And it is a wonderful place. And of course, if people look on my website, hiddenneedstrust.org, and get onto the videos, the first Hidden Needs Trust video, there's quite a lot of filming actually there. So they have a bit of an idea of what it is. But it is just wonderful. And any parent whatsoever, I've said this before, many interviews, if you've got any doubt or any worries about your child, seek help from the beginning, because it might be some very small obstacle that's easily got over. There could be nothing to worry about. But if there is, and you've nipped it in the bud and got the help right at the beginning, it is absolutely imperatively helpful to this child. The life difference will be huge. So do get on to the YOG website and go and have a visit and go and speak to Kim.
OK, what else is happening this month?
Right, well, this month, well, it's the usual, isn't it? Oh, it's January. So everybody's a bit down and what have you. But I have got some really, really good news. First of all, for those of you that have been listening to Charity Corner, Julie Plumley from Future Roots has been presented an award for her Countrymen UK by Esther Ranson recently. I mean, this woman is absolutely amazing. And if anybody's out there that wants to plug her for some sort of major award, as in MBE or whatever it is, then please do, because she does the most amazing work. So well done, Julie. Secondly, Mark Watson, who was on only a couple of months ago, carer, came in. He has been plugging away to get a carer's hub in Dorchester, and it has been relentless for him. But at last, he thinks he's found a venue, which will be absolutely amazing. And this venue won't be the sort of venue that carers go along and all complain about whose wife or husband's got the worst heart attack or the worst broken leg or what have you. This is going to be very supportive, a fun place to go to, have some time out and so on. Yes, the food and clothing banks, they are crying out for things still. And of course, the post-Christmas, I've got 96 pair of socks. They would be useful to go in one of these, as would be any, I hate this expression, but any unwanted Christmas presents. Charity shops and so on are absolutely looking out for new fodder. So please, please just donate and don't worry about it. One more thing, of course, I've got to plug the charity concert on the 18th of March. And there'll be more about that very soon, because, of course, now the panto is nearly over. I'm going to the last performance this afternoon at the Octagon. That will be absolutely fully plugged. And if you get onto the Octagon website, literally on their homepage, there's a button you can press that takes you straight to the news about the concert and about Hidden East Trust. But Terry, have you found anything else?
A couple of things in the diary. As you say, it's a bit of a quiet time of the year, but we've got coffee and chat promoted by the Sherborne Twinning, and that's at Pear Tree Deli, Half Moon Street, Sherborne, every second Tuesday of each month from 2:30. The aim is friendship. Oh, simple enough, isn't it? Just turn up. For more information, contact Bob Walden on 01963 251 081. And it's always worth mentioning, of course, that our great friend Paul Peters and the Geranium Trust, yes, runs his group. Well, let's read it out. If you're spending a lot of time alone and would like some company and maybe make some new friends, come and join us between 2 and 4pm on the last Friday in the month for tea, coffee and cake at the Barn, Court Farm, Court Lane, Stoford BA 22 9UA, opposite Whitcross playing field. Just come along, or you can call for more information, and that's Paul on 01935 429 096, or go and have a look at the geraniumtrust.org website, and that will tell you more. And Paul is doing some wonderful work there with, well, people who are on their own, basically, a lot of it. Yes.
Very, very much so.
And what's coming up next month?
Right, next month we have Eric on, and Eric is Dutchman, and who came along to our first Charity Corner lunch. Absolutely amazing chap, who works and raises money in the profile of a thing called the Ruhr Foundation. So more on that next month. It's quite different. It's something that's abroad, but will interest many, many people here. Do listen. I think that's on the 3rd of February. And of course, if you want to be on Charity Corner, get in touch with me, Rachel Goodfellow. All my details are on hiddenneedstrust.org, and come along and help networking with the rest of the charities. Okay. Thanks very much.
Until
See you next month.
Bye.